Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Before we start, can we request everyone to move forward because we are expecting a lot of devotees to join us. Okay, on behalf of the presiding deities and all the devotees here, I would like to welcome everyone to New Navadvip Dham Mandir within Poapa, New Jersey. Thank you very much for joining. So today we have a very action-packed, very inspirational, in a full day of seminars and lectures. So again, it's our fortune that His Grace Gaurang Prabhu and Govind Prabhu have kindly joining us today. So they'll be with us for the whole day. Just want to give you the schedule what we're going to follow. So the first session will continue till 2 o'clock, and then from 2 to 3 we'll have a lunch prasadam. Then the second session will be from 3 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And then from between 5 to 6, we will have a break. There will be like refreshment. And then the last session will be from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m., followed by a very sumptuous prasadam. So, few requests for devotees who are here. Everyone is eagerly waiting for this kind of seminar, especially from Gaurang Prabhu and Govind Prabhu. So, nobody wants to miss it, but there are certain few devotees are still working in the kitchen. So during the break time, if possible, if someone can help, that will be really helpful so that they can also come and participate here. So without further ado, let us very enthusiastically welcome His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. As you know, Gaurang Prabhu, this is, I think, his 6th year here in Poapa. I think the first time he came here is 2005. It doesn't need an introduction, so I'm not going to do anything. All of you know him very well. So, again, so we are very fortunate to have him here. 60, I guess. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunj
Thank you. कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की
जय।
Hare Krishna Mantra Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution Ki
Jai.
Itai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the Sambhavi
Krishna.
All glories to the Sambhavi
Krishna.
All glories to the Sambhavi Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudigaye.
Tato Jayamudigaye.
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Om Ajnana Tirandhasya. Chakshuromilitam yena.
Tasmai
Shri Gurave Namaha.
Nama
Om Vishnu Padaya.
Krishna
Prishthaya
Bhutale.
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta. Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Paschatya Desha Tarine. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha. Kripasindubhya Eva Cha. Pavitanam Pavanibhyo. Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.
Namo
Mahavadanyaya.
Namo Mahavadanyaya.
Krishna Prema Pradayate.
Krishna Prema Pradayate.
Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya.
Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya.
Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha.
Namne
Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam.
Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam.
Bhaktarupasvarupakam.
Bhaktarupasvarupakam.
Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam.
Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam.
Namami Bhaktashaktika.
Namami Bhaktashaktika.
Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu.
Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu.
Jagatpate.
Dina Bandho Jagatpate.
Gopesha Gopika Kanta.
Gopesha Gopika Kanta.
Siradha Kanta Namostute.
Siradha Kanta Namostute.
Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi.
Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi.
Siradhe Vrindavaneshwari.
Siradhe Vrindavaneshwari.
Vishamanu Sute Devi.
Vishamanu Sute Devi.
Pranamami Hari.
priye
pranamami janai priye
shri krishna chaitanya
prabhu
nityananda
shri
advaita gadadhara shri gaura bhakta vrinda
hare krishna
Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
So very happy to be here once again at this beautiful temple and welcome all the devotees who have come from a long distance. Today we are going to speak on studying Srila Prabhupada's books, or more specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam or even the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, then many of us, when we get initiated, we take the vows of initiation. And part of those vows are chanting 16 rounds. And because we take those vows, so we are very conscious about fulfilling that. But the study of Srila Prabhupada's books is something which gets neglected, because we don't take vows. And because we don't take vows, then our schedules are very busy. So this is one service which many times gets pushed to the side. And I'm yet to meet any devotee who feels that he's satisfied with his reading of the Prabhupada's books. Any lucky soul here who's very satisfied with the way his reading is going on? So if you're satisfied, it's great. This is what is the ideal thing which we want. But because of intense schedules and even, you know, I'm a full-time brahmachari, but still we have difficulties because of so many kinds of different services which come up. So therefore, these are some tips which we can, you know, share in today's seminar, which will help us understand the significance of these books. And as they say, Prabhupada gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people keep it at their house as it is. One time I was, you know, trying to speak about Krishna consciousness to some of the students in IIT. So I visited one of my friend's rooms. I never expected him to be spiritual at all. But to my shock, I found that there was a copy of Gita already there in his room. So I had gone to give him the Gita. And there was also a set of beads. And he was known to be, you know, not so spiritual. So I asked him, how come you have this Gita and you have these beads? So he said, I was having difficulty going to sleep at night. Somebody suggested, if you read this, it will take away all your anxiety. So I started, and believe me, within 5 minutes, I hit the bed so strong. Never had such sleep. As they say, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. And abhadras are destroyed. So Srila Prabhupada, it is interesting, Bhavananda Prabhu gives a story that Prabhupada was revealing with him and Upendra Prabhu once in one conversation. I did not want to come from the spiritual world. But Krishna said, you go down and write those books and I will take care of everything. And Prabhupada, he says, I said, the material world is a horrible place, I don't want to go, Krishna. And Krishna said, no, you must go and write these books. I will take care of everything. And he said, no, I won't go, I don't want to go. Krishna said, no, you write these books. I will take care of everything. So Srila Prabhupada said, just like the Goswamis had trees under which they would sleep every night, so I am having temples where I am sleeping different days. Just like they had their books to translate, I have my books to translate. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada compared the mission to the mission of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And through this pastime, he reveals the very special purpose of his appearance. Krishna is telling, you go and write these books. Otherwise, it is not possible that in a matter of 11 years, someone can write 84 volumes while simultaneously performing management, organization, traveling, and not just traveling within a country, traveling all over the world several times over. And at the same time, books are being printed and being published and being distributed. So therefore, Krishna Shaktivira Nahitana Pravartan. Without the power and empowerment of Krishna, it is not possible. So therefore, this shows the special purpose for which Srila Prabhupada has appeared to compose these literatures, and specifically to give his purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports. And Prabhupada calls these purports his devotional ecstasies. Okay? So I have compiled various frequently asked questions. I was thinking which way to go ahead with the seminar. So I thought that let us go in an FAQ pattern. So the first question, I find that the books are so deeply philosophical and filled with unfamiliar terms that I cannot really understand them. Is it not a waste of time for me to keep going over and over each line or purport? So this is Sasvarup Maharaj in his reading reform. He's writing these nice set of questions. Is it not a waste of time for me to keep going over and over each line or purport? So these are questions which may sometimes come within our mind subconsciously. Because even to ask conscious questions, one needs a certain level of interest. I asked one, young gentleman, he was into investment banking. I asked him, are you interested in these books? He said, which books? I said, Bhagavatam, Gita. I started showing. He said, I am only interested in one book, the checkbook. My life is so crazy. I don't have time for all these things. And he just went through a few pages, too much for me. I can't deal with it. So therefore, the interesting point is somehow or the other become Krishna conscious. And secondly, maintain interest and attention by taking notes. And number two, discussing the books with other devotees. So, for many of you who may have just started the process of Krishna consciousness, or even for those who have spent many years, it is extremely difficult to go through these books in the long run just by oneself. So one of the very easy methods of getting to understand these books and going deeper into these books is when we involve a kind of discussion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Sripad Maitreya Muni explains, Tathapi kirtayam manga yatha mat yatha shrutam kirtim harir swam satkartum giram anyabhidasatim. So he says, now that you have asked me these questions, O Vidura, Tathapi kirtayami, therefore, I will explain this Bhagavatam to you. How? Yathamati, according to whatever I have understood. Yathashrutam, according to whatever I have heard. Because there are so many subject matters, even transcendental, to hear. And we cannot hear all of those. And even if we hear, we cannot understand all the subjects. Because the subject matter can be sometimes extremely complex. When Srila Prabhupada first came and he was giving a talk at 26 Second Avenue, and there was one hippie who was sitting there, and he was observing Srila Prabhupada speak, and Prabhupada made this point emphatically and repeatedly. I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. And this gentleman, he thought that Prabhupada is referring to himself. This person is definitely not the body. He is the soul. I don't know about myself. But what he is saying may be true for him. So many times, the frame of reference is so different that it is extremely difficult to understand. As Prabhupada was speaking in the initial years in 26 Second Avenue, somebody just got up and asked Srila Prabhupada this question. Just cut off. Srila Prabhupada said, can you see God challenging you? And Prabhupada said, no, because you are coming in the way. Sit down. So Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains, to understand transcendental knowledge, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. The first requirement is humility. And unless we have humility, amanitvam, alamnitvam, ahimsa, kshanti, rajyam, it is not possible to understand this knowledge. So therefore here, it is extremely difficult to enter into this tattva unless one makes conscious effort. And that's very, very critical. So therefore in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described, ये बाना ही बुझे के हाँ शून्यते शून्यते से हाँ कियत भूतं चैतन्य चरित्र कृष्णे उपजिते प्रीति जानी बेरा सेररिति शून्यले बड़ा हुए हिता. So it is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. ये बाना ही बुझे के हाँ. Someone says, I cannot understand this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in Bengali. It's too difficult. It's dealing with too many complex topics. Shunite shunite seha. Just keep hearing again and again. So the fundamental principle in understanding and developing a taste in these books is repetition. Repeated hearing, reading and discussion. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, oftentimes we think that solutions will be very simple or magical. Everyone comes thinking that, okay, there will be some magic formula and then everything will be in place. But it is not possible to understand these literatures without hard work. Shunite shunite seha ki adbhuta chaitanya charitra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is extremely striking, superlative, all attractive. Krishne upajite priti janipe rasarriti shunilai bada hoi hit. Just by hearing this Chaitanya Charitamrita repeatedly, one will develop love for Krishna and understand how the mellows in devotional service exist. Shunilai bada hoye hita, and one will benefit greatly by this transcendental literature. So therefore in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit is sitting and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, and he says, Shrevata Shraddhaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. He says this Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood when one has faith and one regularly studies it. How? Swacheshtitam, by putting effort. One has to put effort to study and understand this. And then what will be the effect? Kale nanati dirghena bhagavan vishate hrudi. Then in a short period of time, the Lord will manifest from within and destroy the ignorance and reveal real knowledge. Therefore, I was giving the example the other day, when there is a pharmacy shop, it has all kinds of different medicines. And each one of those medicines is meant for different diseases. Like that, every pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam is like a medicine for a particular disease of the mind. Because our mind, especially in Kali Yuga, is filled with various complexities. The diseases are complex. The insecurities, the fears which we are experiencing day in and day out, they are such that it is impossible for us to even express it to even someone who is very intimately related to us. And therefore the solution cannot come from without. The solution has to come from within. And then when we study the Bhagavatam, hear the Bhagavatam, and then try to apply this in our lives, then Krishna within the heart is pleased by that effort. And then Krishna purifies us. And then all of these insecurities and impurities of the mind can be cured. So therefore, we have to maintain the interest and attention by either studying it diligently, but in my experience I have found that the easiest is you share this knowledge with others. You speak it to others. You know, when you speak it to others and share it with others, then automatically one also understands this philosophical tattva deeply. And one remembers the maximum. Just like there's a true story of one student who had gone for doing his PhD in New Zealand. He's coming from a family of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. His grandmother is initiated in the Gaudiya Math. But he never took interest. So he went to New Zealand for doing his PhD, and then in the college campus some of his other friends started discussing about, you know, spirituality. And then he started trying to find books on spirituality, and then someone said that Buddhism is the in thing. So he started reading books on Korean Buddhism. He's from Bengal, he's a Bengali. Coming from Gaudiya family and reading Korean Buddhism. So he was going through these books, and then one day on the streets he met one lady who was a Hare Krishna devotee and distributing books. And the interesting thing about this lady was she was from Korea. So she showed him Srila Prabhupada's books, and he saw those books and he said, "Is this spirituality?" He said, "Oh yeah." And then he looked at her, and he could understand that she's from Oriental background. So he asked her, "Which country are you from?" And she said, "I'm from Korea." "Korea! Wow! I've been reading so many books on Korean Buddhism. I've been practicing Korean Buddhism. What do you practice?" And she said, "Gaudiya Vaishnavism." And I said, "My God, that's what I saw my grandmother doing all life. So probably I should also check it out." You know, so he went like this. So that's what happens. Sometimes when we get things easily, we try to think that, we start thinking that, you know, probably it's not the highest. That happens when you get things very easy. So therefore, then of course now he's an initiated devotee. He's a, you know, disciple of Devamrita Maharaj. So therefore we find here that Srila Prabhupada, he struggled a lot to come to America and give us these books. And it's not an ordinary thing that, you know, so many books have been written and given to us. And therefore, we have the opportunity to discuss these, the contents with other people. So for, as a simple example, if you read a certain section on a certain day, so you could either take some notes on that and then try to share it with your family, or you try to share it with your friends, or try to share it with some colleagues in office or someone. The interesting thing about association, which I was discussing yesterday at the Bhakti Center, is what the association of devotees actually does is it creates aspirations. When you see some other devotee doing something, you also get aspirations. And as soon as you get an aspiration that, oh, just see, this devotee is preaching so nicely, this devotee is studying so nicely, automatically the aspiration comes in our heart. I should also become sincere and serious like this. As soon as that aspiration comes, Krishna notes that aspiration and gives the strength from within. So Krishna, who is passive as Paramatma and witnessing what we are doing, just by seeing that aspiration becomes active and gives strength. The strength to transform, to change. So that's the amazing thing about the association of devotees. And therefore you can always find some role models by seeing whom you can also get the inspiration. So I should also try to share the knowledge of the Bhagavad with others. So therefore, here our Maitreya Rishi is saying, Yathamati Yathashrutam Kirtim Hare Swam Satkartum. I am speaking to purify my tongue, otherwise my tongue will become impure. It will be unchaste. Viram Anya Vina Asatim. It will display its prostitute-like tendency. So therefore, when you share the contents of Prabhupada's books with others, you will see that you are absorbing the contents to the maximum possible extent. The thing about reading is, okay, go to the next question. Often I finish reading a long purport only to find that I was thinking about something else the whole time. How many of you have this experience? You seem to be happy about it. This is a question. You should not think that this is a bona fide thing which I do. Okay, there is a misunderstanding there. This is not a recommended technique. This is a problem being identified. How can I keep my mind from wandering when I read? That is the main question. So the Kali Yuga problem is intense because the mind is very agitated. And therefore to study and still remain focused is extremely difficult. Okay, so, yeah. Some important points have been given. First is the attitude. If we have to focus while reading these books, then first of all we have to create a transformation in our attitude. And these are very important steps. Because without the right attitude, one cannot become absorbed in transcendental literature. So there is a difference between studying books of physics, chemistry, mathematics or economics or other mundane subjects and becoming absorbed in transcendental literature. There's a vast difference. So when Krishna appears as a boar, he's called Varaha. When he appears as a fish, he's called Matsya. When he appears as a Kshatriya warrior, he's Parshuram. Half man, half lion, he's Narsingha. Similarly, when Krishna appears as a book, he is called Srimad Bhagavatam. So So this is not different from Krishna. And therefore we are trying to worship Krishna with our intelligence. Todoham te vidhasyami mahapaurushiko bhavan yasya shraddha datamashu syan mukunde mati sati. So Maharaj Parikshit is expressing his great joy and great bliss that he is able to speak this Srimad Bhagavat to Maharaj Parikshit, because he is pleased with Maharaj Parikshit's attitude. Tadaham te abhidasyami mahapaurushiko bhavan. You are a Mahapurush, he said. Why? Yasya shraddhadatamashu. You have faith. You have proper faith in Krishna. Syan mukunde mati sati. You have accepted the circumstances in your life with humility. Non-acceptance of reality creates agitation. And therefore, our mind remains flickering. If you observe, when do we become most agitated and when does it become extremely difficult for us to focus either on the chanting or on the reading? Is when certain events or incidents have happened contrary to our expectations, beyond our control, without our permission. And it has happened in such a way, we can't do anything about it. And internally, the false ego screams, I can't accept it. So there is non-acceptance of the reality. Because false ego means the illusion that I am in control. So now and then Krishna, he orchestrates various kinds of difficulties which reveal our lack of control. And then that creates agitation. And we are extremely agitated. So Maharaj Parikshit is just young, very pious, born in a noble family. He just committed a small mistake of putting a snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi. And he was cursed. So if you see, Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of his mother was attacked by the Brahmastra. In the womb of his mother, he was absolutely, utterly helpless. In that helpless state, no one can survive under such attack. But it was Krishna's will that he survives. So Krishna protected him. The Brahmastra was destroyed and Parikshit Maharaj was born. Now Parikshit Maharaj in his life becomes a powerful youth, trained Kshatriya, destroys even Kali personified. So naturally the chances of his being killed in such a state of power is much less. But then how the circumstances happen is he goes into the forest, he feels thirsty, and that person who could tolerate the power of Brahmastra could not tolerate the thirst for one pitcher of water. Circumstances changed. And then he was angry and he put that snake. And because he put the snake, he got cursed. So at the time of his birth, Krishna's will was that the Brahmastra should be destroyed and Parikshit should be born. Now Krishna's will changed. And Krishna willed that Srimad Bhagavatam should be born. And so Maharaj Parikshit should die. So when Krishna's will changes, and Krishna's will is manifested through the wheel of time. So all we can do is simply witness and accept the reality. And to the extent we are able to accept the reality, we are able to absorb ourselves in the thoughts of Krishna. So acceptance creates absorption. And to the extent we accept the will of the Lord, we can remain absorbed in the thoughts of how the Lord is so merciful. And that was the special, you know, feature of Maharaj Parikshit. that when he was cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights, it was unjust, unfair. And when we go through circumstances, when something unjust happens, it takes so long for us to come to grips with reality. And the mind keeps screaming, why did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? How could Krishna do this to me? Is Krishna not keeping count of my Ahamantra? Is he not aware how much I am chanting? Right? And especially when we become devotees, our expectations from Krishna increase a lot. Because we start thinking, I have given up non-veg, onion, garlic, chai, coffee, you know, even all of these things. And we think in our family, no one ever gave up these things. I am the first person in several generations to give up all these things. And then we come in front of Krishna expecting a good deal. Because the problem is, we have always been used to visiting temples and having a partnership with Krishna as a business proposal. Let us make Krishna our business partner. We will remain the majority shareholder. Make sure that everything goes on okay with me. Intuitively, that has been the motive for visits to the temple. What can these gentlemen or ladies, depending on, you know, which Devi Devata we are visiting, they can do for me? That is not devotion, that is not love, that is business. So therefore, for the first time when we come across Srila Prabhupada's purports, we realize that devotional service is much beyond business. Devotional service is not about what he can do for me, but what I can do to serve him. So therefore, the whole mentality changes. And we are shocked to read the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit, right in the first canto. Grandson of Arjun, piety personified, one who destroyed Kali, who never committed any sin, and for an insignificant crime he was cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. This is too much. And he's not protesting also. And he's happily accepting. Tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasatta chittasya grihesha bhikshnam nirvedam mulo dvijashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayam ashudhate. So, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, my dear Lord, thanks to you. I thank you, my gratitude to you for putting me in this situation. He is thanking the Lord for this calamity. That is another big shock. That one goes through a calamity and someone has the capacity to thank the Lord also for it. Vyasakta chittasya griheshu bhikshnam, said, why? Because I have been so attached to material sense gratification and material life, and I am so attached to being the king, that there was no way I could have become detached except through this calamity. And you have done that to purify me, to take me to a higher level. Nirveda mulo dvijashapa rupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudhate, so that at least out of fear I will give up all my attachments and take your shelter. So therefore there is acceptance by Maharaj Parikshit. He accepts that yes, Krishna is in control. Krishna's will is infallible. He didn't think, oh, when I was in the womb of my mother, I was helpless embryo, I survived then. Now, why Krishna did not protect me? So when good things happen, there is immediate acceptance from us. When good things happen to us, we come to Krishna and say, of course. You are definitely the Supreme Lord. You are the cause of all causes. So that is where our double standards are exposed. When something good happens, there is immediate acceptance, and when something bad happens, there is questions. So therefore, Krishna, through this pastime of Maharaj Parikshit, is revealing that when there is acceptance of Krishna's will, that is the only reality. Krishna's will is infallible. He is the supreme transcendental autocrat. He can move his will in any way he wants. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a complete case study of how the devotees accept Krishna's will. And because of that acceptance, they get the capacity to be absorbed in his pastimes, in his love, in his service. So therefore, how can I keep my mind from wandering when I read? So this is not just a question of my wandering of the mind only while reading, even while chanting or doing any other thing. To the extent we are able to accept this fact with humility. What is the humility? To understand that Krishna's will is all-powerful, infallible and supreme. My will has to be subordinate to his will. It is not that he will come and ask question from us, what is your opinion? And then he will execute his will. No. So therefore, this humility is the first principle and freedom from the false ego. So what does false ego mean? Exactly opposite of humility. So I have a very high conception about myself. You know, I think that whatever I am doing is something great. Like when Prabhupada was about to travel and one devotee was cooking for Srila Prabhupada and she was making samosas. And she was putting the samosas in the box which Srila Prabhupada was going to carry for his travels. As she was putting the samosas, Prabhupada was picking up one samosa and eating. She was frying and putting and he was eating. She was frying and he was eating. And she asked Prabhupada, how many samosas will you eat? Prabhupada said, more than you can make. So then, immediately a thought came. Prabhupada loves my cooking so much. Looks like I am special. So she asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, who is your favorite cook? Prabhupada said, myself. I love my cooking the most. So the false ego is to think that I am special. And because we think like that, we expect a special deal from Krishna. That you should deal with me, not like ordinary. I am different. And when something happens which is totally contrary to what we expect, it becomes devastating. So therefore, our Bhavanantra was telling us in Mayapur that he went to an import store and got one rose oil for Srila Prabhupada, very expensive. And he thought like, this is something special and we only get it here in this import store in New York. This is the best, Prabhupada was impressed. He went and gave. So one is supposed to put the rose oil, you know, one drop, and it goes on for several months, one bottle. So as soon as Prabhupada received it, he said, Prabhupada, this is a very, very special, unique rose oil. You know, you won't get it anywhere in the world. Okay. Prabhupada opened, took his palm, Prabhupada emptied the whole thing. And he was shocked. Mahanandra was looking, what's he doing? And Prabhupada not only that, took that and rubbed it on his head. Completely. And then he was still shocked. And Prabhupada added to that. And Prabhupada said, in Calcutta, it is better. Instantaneously, you know, he became so humble just by that. So the false ego is the connection of the soul with the spiritual world. And the Shastra is nothing but repeated declarations and examples of how Krishna's will is supreme. What is Bhagavad each past tense? What are you reading? You are simply seeing live demonstration of the power of Krishna's will. One pastime after another. Great devotees done so much piety, but somehow they go through suffering. It is Pandavas doing so much, they are going through suffering. You are reading it. So Krishna's will being infallible, the infallibility of Krishna's will is just screaming out of every page of the Shastra. And to the extent our consciousness is tuned in to that acceptance, then we will connect. If we, in our own spiritual lives, have not sufficiently come to the stage of accepting Krishna's will as supreme and infallible, and have hopes that our will should also reign supreme now and then, to that extent we will find a disconnect between the subject which we are reading and where we are at. And therefore the distraction is there. The absorption becomes difficult. So therefore the question is, we can't just artificially come to a stage of acceptance. But at least when we understand what is the cause of distraction, we can work on it more effectively. So therefore humility, and that humility depends on second, purity. So purity means to the extent we become purified of the influence of the false ego. And the real ego, that Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Das, that I am Krishna's eternal servant, that is being revealed. You know, so to that extent one becomes purified of these principles. And this purity is also purification from all kinds of misconceptions, false conceptions which we have as a result of extension, you know, of our thinking that I am this body, I am an Indian, I am this, I am that. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mahaprabhu visits in South India, Purva Brahman, Prabhu kahe aicheva tabhu na kahibo, grihe rahi Krishnam nirantar laibo. So Purva Brahman is saying, I am fed up with everything, I want to give up all my family responsibilities, I want to leave everything and join you, my dear Lord. I want to join your mission. So he already had a family, he had wife, he had children. So Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, Aichema kahuna kahibo, do not speak like this. Grihe rahi Krishnam nirantar laibo. Stay at home and do two things. Chant and preach this message to others. Share this message with others. Grihe rahi Krishnam nirantar laibo. So then Purva Brahman is saying, if I share this message with others, I have to interact with other people who may be contaminated, it may affect me. So Mahaprabhu says, Obhuna Padhibe Tomar Vishayataranga Punarapi Eithani Pabe Morasanga Kabhuna Padhibo. Don't worry. Because you are acting on my behalf, you will never be trapped by the influence of the waves of material nature. Kabuna Padhika Kama Vishay Taranga Punarapyaithani Pabe Morasanga. At the end of this life, you will come to me without fail. So therefore he gives this assurance and he says that just act on my behalf. So now we have so many conceptions which are impure. That, you know, I belong to this country, this community, this nation, this, that, so many things. So ultimately we have to develop the purity that I am only a servant of Krishna. You know, many years back in India, and I told this story, our Radhanath Maharaj and some devotees were traveling on a flight and they were going to Belgaum. And on that flight, the Indian cricket team was also traveling. The cricket team from India. So now there are 33 crore demigods traditionally, but now there are plus 11 also. These 11 cricket players are also considered on the status of demigods, sometimes more also. The day India won World Cup in Bombay, some places they were offering aarti by keeping a picture of the World Cup. And they were doing Maha Aarti. Very traditional. So, as this flight was going, so these 2-3 devotees with Maharaj were very happy. They looked extra special happy. Because of the causeless mercy. Of the association of Mahajans. So the flight landed and there were 200-300 devotees doing kirtan, you know, waiting for Maharaj. And the cricket team got down and they thought that the kirtan and the reception is for them. And they thought the garlands are coming, but nobody put any garlands, so they were kind of bewildered. And then the devotees got down and they were welcomed. And one cricket player was there. I think it was probably on this journey or the another journey. His name was Ajay Jadeja. So he picked up Maharaj's luggage and everything. And he said, "May I serve you? Please help, you know, let me help you. You are a sadhu." So Maharaj said, "You are also interested in spirituality. You are such a famous person. People will follow you." He said, "Yeah, I am interested, but you know, I don't have time. You please give me blessings." So he got so much blessings, in a few months he was banned from cricket. Final in Mumbai, we have never seen such madness to such an extent. He organized a Rath Yatra and with great difficulty, you know, 20, 30, 50,000 people come after so much austerity. But here, millions of people on the road, you know, celebrating like anything, shouting and screaming and crackers, firecrackers. I wanted to sleep early, so. But I realized that, you know, if India wins, they're going to create havoc at night. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, whether they're going to have firecrackers or not, depending on whether India is winning. And I asked somebody, so what's the score? And score was regularly coming from the Wankhede Stadium. Some of our devotee children were there. They were calling up. This is the score. Please pray to Krishna. And then after the event, there was such firecrackers, nobody could sleep. And people were out celebrating and, you know, dancing on the cars and smashing things. It was something unprecedented. And what was the whole conception? Okay, we have won. And who has won? We. Who? I'm India. So that connection. That conception. But that conception is not the reality because originally we are the soul. So we have to become purified of those conceptions. And when we become purified of that conception and we understand, okay, I am neither Indian nor American nor this nor that nor engineer nor doctor, but I belong to the Krishna family. And to the extent I identify with Krishna, then I like to read about Krishna more. Otherwise, if you are thinking strongly, I am Indian, India must win, then you like to read a sports magazine, which is describing about the victory of India. So therefore, this purity is also an important factor. And the third thing is repentance. So repentance means kind of regret and a desire to reform oneself. One must have a desire that I must change. There must be some transformation like that. So therefore, this is a very important point about repentance. That Maharaj Parikshit, if you take his example, although He was very pure and it was not his fault. He accepted and he repented. Tiraskritaha viprarabdhaha shaptaha kshiptaha hata api nasyadat patikurvanti tad bhaktaha prabhupi. The great souls are like this, even though they experience some kind of difficulty, but they do not retaliate, but they tolerate. And Parikshit Maharaj repented for what he had done. One time two devotees were having a fight. And the matter came to Srila Prabhupada, and one of the devotees said that, Srila Prabhupada, this devotee started fighting. Prabhupada said, fight is there, disagreement is there, means two people are involved. So therefore both have their fault. So the important thing is, both parties have to repent. And then the agreement can be there. So without repentance, the matter cannot go forward. So the second is the causes of this. Okay, the question is, how can I keep my mind from wandering when I read and I don't, I'm not able to concentrate. So one of the causes could be workload. So probably some of you have work patterns which are very intense, many hours of working, and very late nights or early morning, late night conference calls with India, whatever. But workload is intense, makes it difficult for you to focus. And secondly, the type of work which you may be doing also is so rajasic and it is so intense that it becomes difficult to sit and just focus on something which is so pure. Because Bhagavatam is so pure, and the kind of activities we may be engaged in may be so much in Rajogun and probably Tamogun also, that it becomes difficult to connect with the literature which is of, such pure origin. And therefore it is not uncommon that when you sit with a newspaper or a magazine, you can read through. But you take the Bhagavatam, you take the Gita, and as soon as you start reading, how many of you have ever felt sleepy while reading Bhagavatam, Chaitanya-charitamrita, Gita, Shastra? Please raise your hands. That's like 100%. Why? Because the modes are against us. The Rajogun and Tamogun within is affecting us. Srila Prabhupada came to Detroit and the devotees had been working very hard and they had hardly slept. And after a week of heavy work, then Prabhupada came and it was his first class, and as Prabhupada began speaking, all of these devotees who had worked very hard for a long time, they were eagerly listening to Prabhupada. But because of the hard work they had done and not having slept sufficiently, and suddenly you sit down and try to hear a Bhagavatam class, you don't have to be an astrologer to predict what happened. So they were all sleeping. And Prabhupada was saying, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his movement is spreading all over the world. And on the instructions of Srila Saraswati Thakur, I have come to the West to distribute this mercy. And I am grateful to all of you for assisting me in distributing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should be grateful to him that only by Lord Chaitanya's mercy this movement is spreading all over the world. And Prabhupada was speaking intensely with his eyes closed. He said, we should be convinced that only by Mahaprabhu's mercy this movement is spreading. And Prabhupada opened his eyes and he saw the whole row in front of him sleeping. So Prabhupada looked on the right, they were also sleeping. He looked on the left, they were also sleeping. And Prabhupada said, and it is a fact. So it is so difficult to focus when you are reading and studying because the moods are against. That is one of the causes. So therefore caution is, also that one should not, if one has a penchant for reading, it doesn't mean we just become a bookworm, that just keep reading, but the purpose of the message of the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita is, it is filled with narrations of dynamic servants of Krishna. So those books only help us, inspire us to actually become active servants. So the purpose of reading is to make us more active, more enthusiastic to serve, like the Pandavas, like Ambarish Maharaj, like Dhruv Maharaj, like Prahlad Maharaj. And not that when there is active service, we give that active service up and keep reading, thinking that reading is giving me great ecstasy. So the purpose of reading is not that. So that's the interesting point. So one time, Radhanath Maharaj was speaking to me, and he was telling me a very interesting point. And he said, I don't want you to spend your whole life just speaking about Krishna. You're a preacher, so you'll speak about Krishna definitely. And because you're speaking whole life, you'll do it. I don't want you to spend your whole life just speaking about Krishna. My job is to train you to realize Krishna. So the purpose of coming to ISKCON and coming into the Association of Devotees is not to learn how to speak about Krishna. Our main purpose is to realize Krishna. So whatever it takes to realize Krishna, we have to do. And part of that is also to understand glories of Krishna, and for that we have to study. But because one may have tendencies of being a jnani, so one may find the entire process of reading very pleasurable. And one may forget the ultimate purpose is to serve. Therefore, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta. Anyone has these desires will be ashanta, will not be peaceful like that. So, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and when Prabhupada came to Krishna Balaram temple, there was one devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He started chanting a shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto, first chapter. Dustaram nishtitirshatam kalim satpaharam pumsam karnavaram ivarnavam. You are like the captain of the ship who was leading us across the ocean, and he was like chanting with, you know, proper meter and everything. And Prabhupada looked at him and pointed to a puddle of water which was lying there. And Prabhupada said, you are standing here chanting verses in my glorification, and there is so much of dirt here to be cleaned. Who is going to clean? Stop chanting and clean. And Prabhupada immediately engaged him in performing that service. So therefore, the purpose of studying is to understand how to become a dynamic servant of Krishna. And as we are performing service actively as Krishna's servant, we may go through difficulties, and therefore we need to read about those great souls, how they continued serving in spite of difficulties, and how they got the inspiration to continue serving. So we need to read that. So both are codependent. Okay, next. So another type of problem. I like to read so much that sometimes I find myself reading when I should be doing other things. It is all right. Okay, this may not be a common problem, but still this may be a problem. And what? So the effects of reading without obeying instructions is, number one, one may get a corrupt attitude, and number two, one may do misinterpretation. So we find many scholars, you know, lots of the big scholar community is there, and they are interpreting books in certain ways, which are deviant. And we find that even after coming to the association of devotees, if someone is not sincerely serving under authority, and one thinks that I can get knowledge just by reading different books. Bhaktya bhagavatam grahya na buddhya na tu tikaya. One can absorb bhagavatam by devotion, by submissive service, not by intelligence, na buddhya, na tu tikaya, not by reading commentaries of acharyas. When one performs service, one receives blessings of the great souls. That blessings of the great soul help us absorb, that is the channel. The blessings act as the channel through which the knowledge of the Bhagavad flows. Water is there in the reservoir. If the channel is not there, the pipeline is not there, how the water will flow? So the Bhagavatam is there, it is filled with knowledge. We are the receptacle, but something has to connect. The blessings of the great souls connects. Blessings doesn't come for free. Blessings doesn't come simply by bowing down and touching someone's feet and putting the hand on the head. Blessings. Please give blessings. That is a good gesture. But blessings come when we start endeavoring to go out of our comfort zone. Blessings begin to come when we start serving out of our comfort zone. And then we really try to serve to please the Vaishnavas by putting our best. And when we sincerely serve and try to please the great souls, then they are pleased within their heart, and when they are pleased, Krishna sees that, and then Krishna makes that connection. The channel is open and the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam flows, and when the knowledge flows, it is called realization. And then we can actually access this mercy. So otherwise, this kind of deviation is bound to happen. It's quite common. Like one of our brahmacharis was out distributing books. And in India, many people think they are scholars on Krishna, topic of Krishna. And he was distributing books and he was giving the Gita to one gentleman and he said, "Read the Gita." And this man in the local train, he was so angry, he said, "I don't want to read anything about Krishna. He was a womanizer. He was doing this in Vrindavan, that. I don't want to hear anything about him." And this devotee, Brahmachari, he just caught hold of his neck, you know, in the moving train. "Said, stop blaspheming Krishna." And then he put him against the wall of the moving train. So he got bewildered. They said, "Don't blaspheme Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cause of all causes. If you blaspheme, you are committing great apparat. You understand?" And he said, "Yeah." "So who is Krishna?" "The Supreme Personality of Godhead." So we asked him, "Hey, how you got so much guts? Because this devotee is very thin." So he said, "First thing I saw was he was thinner than me." You know, someone blasphemed, then we should also defend. And this guy was like an educated person doing his PhD, you know, somewhere. So he thought he knows who is Krishna and what is Krishna. So just by studying, by accessing the books, nothing happens. Because you can go on increasing the reservoir volume, but that doesn't do much. As far as connection goes is concerned, the connection comes through the channel. And the channel is nothing but the blessings of the great souls. And the blessings come as a result of genuine, honest, hard work performed in the service of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, it will just be licking the honey from outside the jar. Like that. So therefore, go ahead. Escaping seva to read is selfishness and cheating. You know, in Chopadi, one of the many times I have seen, we tell somebody, "Okay, can you come to the kitchen? There are lots of pots there to wash." And I say, "I just started reading Bhagavatam." So suddenly, the art of studying enhances when someone hears pot wash. So when I first joined, also I was serving in the kitchen initially, when I first joined 94. What happened was, I didn't know any cooking before. So when I was studying in IIT, some of our friends, they came together and they decided, we are going to give up now eating in the mess, because it's all a mess. He will make Krishna prasad. So I got bewildered. In the hostel, how we are going to make? How we are going to cook? So one of the devotees said, I will cook. I said, do you know cooking? He said, no, I have seen my mother cooking. So I thought, probably I came too early to this call. Whether I'm going to get anything or not. They started cooking. So one day, we were doing japa on the terrace, and one of our leaders at that time amongst the students, he was like more senior in the devotee association. He just declared loudly, I just read, Prabhupada said, we never went to the moon. So the other devotee was the main book. He got very angry. He said, hey, how can you say this? We never went to the moon. Don't name all the... I have heard enough of contradictory statements, but this is too much. I can't handle it. Yes, never went to the moon. Don't blaspheme Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this. And the big fight began. And this other guy who was the cook got so involved, time for our breakfast was coming close. So three, four of us who were usually the recipients of the prasad, you know, we kind of went to this guy, our head cook, and told him that, you know, whatever happened in the moon, but we are on earth. Have mercy on those who are on earth. Please, let us go. No. Today, till this debate is resolved, I won't go to the kitchen. I said, Maria. Forced Ekadashi. So, that day, two, three of us remaining, we went. And we had an old stove, you know, kerosene stove. Very old and very strange looking. It would take half an hour to start it off. Appeared like it was remnants from Battle of Kurukshetra. So we just did whatever was possible, and that was, you know, the day, you know, I first cooked. So then from there, in ISKCON, once you start something, you keep on doing it. And you should remember. If someone gives you, please broom this. Can you broom this? Yeah, sure, sure. So be rest assured, next 10 years we'll be doing that.
I thought you were inspiring us to prepare a serve.
No, I'm saying, be careful. So I started. So then I came to Chowpatty. I joined. So I was in the kitchen. There was no problem in the cooking part, but the problem was the feedback. I was staying in a small family, four people, so as soon as the ladies cook, then, you know, the husband sometimes say this. Namak jala, namak kama, so there we had so many brahmacharis. Someone coming from Punjab, someone coming from Kerala, someone coming from Bengal, someone from Gujarat. So you make something sweet, Gujarat is very happy. Then South Indian gives dali and bro. So you make sambar, you put little imli, and then Gujarat is like khatta bana liya. I said, Mama, what is going on? I came to Hare Krishna to hear all this or what? So it was becoming difficult. So I thought, how to escape from this? So I thought, okay, let me increase preaching. So probably then, you know, they'll see he's too busy. So I went on increasing my program, two programs, three programs, 7 days a week. So 7-8 programs. So then the kitchen engineer came to me and said, looks like you're very busy. You're doing too much preaching, so I think you should be relieved from kitchen. That was like nectar for me. So I said, well, I don't mind, but if you're saying so, then I can do that. I only want to do with blessings. So he agreed. So I got out of the kitchen. So I thought that's the end of it. But when some service is written in your account, you cannot escape. Krishna keeps account. He may just give a reprieve for some time. So many other people came, and then we had paid cooks, and the nature of the kitchen was our ashram kept growing. Now we have 185 brahmacharis. And our Sunday crowd is 2,000, 2,500. You know, some festivals we don't announce only. Afraid that too many people will come. And we don't distribute prasadam also. You know, to encourage lesser people to come. And we keep making announcements. Live telecast is available on radhanathswami.us. Please try to see live. So because the numbers went on increasing, it was becoming difficult to manage. And one of Radhanath Maharaj's guests came to the kitchen, you know, to the prasadam hall. And one gentleman standing on the door, he chased him away. So he came and complained. Maharaj started inquiring, what is going on, why the things are not proper, you know. And then he called some of us, what is going wrong with the kitchen, why people are not satisfied. Chopad is famous for preaching and guest hospitality, this and this, but nobody is praising the prasadam, nothing good is happening. So then I was very quiet. As you know, in ISKCON, jo bole, so kare. So then the discussion came and said, who was the first person who was working here many years back? So, you? Okay. So I think you should also get involved. I said, no, I was sufficiently involved. I've had my fill. He says, no, you don't have to be fully involved, but you can facilitate. So then 2-3 of us, we got involved again. So I thought, okay, I'll just go in, organize a little bit and come out. But once you go in, you can't come out. So for the last 4 years, every day, breakfast 1 hour, lunch 1 hour, Sunday feast 3 hours, 4 hours, and many hours in planning for cooking for 300 people every day, and for 2,000 people on every Sunday, and 5,000 people in yatra, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 12 days. This kind of, you know, service just came in without planning, without desiring, and while trying to escape. Again, as they say in Hindi, dane dane pe likha hai. Banane wale ka. So I was thinking that this is something which I didn't want to do at all. But the other realization I got was, what happened as a result of this was, probably I got less time to study, but I got a lot of blessings. So you will be happy to know that just 3 months ago, we got our kitchen ISO 22000 certified. So we had a whole team of now 16 brahmacharis working full time in the kitchen. And we have 20 employees. And the spirit is so nice, you know. And we have standardized all the recipes and made all kinds of innovations. But because the whole mood was how we can serve the devotees, and everyone got so absorbed in that mood of serving the Vaishnavas, that the blessings of the devotees becomes very satisfying. So that's a much higher principle than thinking, okay, let me save some time and do some study. So therefore, serving the devotees is very important. Otherwise, escaping the service would be some kind of selfishness or cheating. And the solution is, schedule your daily reading times, or you can hear lecture topics or discuss the philosophy in the groups as we have described before, like that. Okay, next. Okay, scheduling daily reading times. So just like there are good times for different things, scheduling the time is important because your mind becomes focused. One of the greatest myths is the expectations that I will open Prabhupada book on that day when I have 4 hours free. When I am completely peaceful, that day I will read. Sometimes you will get this thought that, oh, now I only half an hour, I only one hour. Too many things happening. My mind is not in the right mood. Let me wait for that right day. Let me find out according to astrology, which is the most auspicious day, then I can open this book. You know, when our devotees were distributing books in the first party, they were distributing books in a coal mine in Bihar. Very deadly. Whoever would come was like completely covered with a coal, black. So one gentleman came and, you know, we were distributing Gita, Krishna book all together. So he said, "Nai, nai, hum nai chuenge, I will not touch. I have not taken bath. I am very impure. So today is not a right day. And I have eaten non-veg also. So I will not touch." So the devotee, they put it in a bag and said, "Take it in a bag. You don't touch, the bag will take care." He took it. So we may think today is not the right day. Tomorrow is the right day. Day after is the right day. That right day will never come. So we have to schedule it on a regular basis. It may be a little difficult, but only when you make it as a priority, then it happens. So go ahead. The impersonalists read the Gita very carefully, yet they still misinterpret and miss the conclusion. Would you say that as long as we are conditioned, we will in some way misinterpret the pure message? So this is another problem of misinterpreting. In fact, I remember one devotee who had read lots of books of Mayavadis before. He was telling me, as when I read Prabhupada's purports and Prabhupada's word-to-word translation, I keep finding faults. Why it is translated like this? Why not like this? Why like this? Why not like that? I said, thank God I didn't read any Mayavadi literatures. You know, I just read some sports magazines and film magazines and newspapers, novels. But reading Mayavadi text is deadly because it just creates that habit of speculating. And we find it difficult to respect the Gita as it is. One chief minister of Punjab came to meet Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada gave him the Bhagavad Gita. This chief minister, he took the Gita and placed it upon his head, and while keeping it on his head, he walked away. Prabhupada said, "This politician has offered the highest respect to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will take him to the highest office in India." He became President Gyani Jain Singh. Of course, that doesn't mean we keep it. You think, okay, I have a chance now. Prabhupada made that statement. He gave blessings. So, the devotees are in the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So most important principle is only when you accept Krishna as Lord, you can get taste in reading this. Somebody asked, why you are repeating again and again so many times? That will come again. So while eating, if in your sweet rice, suppose you are eating sweet rice and you get kaju and kishmish, and lots of kaju, cashew and, you know, raisins are there, and badam, almonds. Does anyone complain? And if someone give nice, very delicious sweet rice every alternate day, do you also complain? And why you are giving sweet rice? Every day we are eating sabji, roti, dal. Do we complain? Are again roti, again dal, again sabji. No, we are eating. So therefore, when we understand that this is nourishment, then we will not find it as a problem. Right? Somebody, one gentleman was saying, I don't read Prabhupada books because I don't remember anything. I read, I forget. Many times I forget which chapter I am reading also. Many times I repeat the chapter, then I realize I have read already. I forget which shloka I was reading. So I said, no problem, you have been married for 20 years, how many meals your wife has cooked for you? Do you remember all of them? No. But has it nourished you? Yes. So Bhagavatam is not for remembering. If you remember, it is great. It is for nourishment.
Yeah.
Nourishment of the soul. Because Kali Yuga is designed in such a way, we won't remember. You know, I have spoken on the Atma serial. And many people who watch the serial, I mean, they are just repeating every year, same thing. They keep repeating episodes again and again every year. And people come up to me and say, this year, it is very good. And what is very good? This year's recording very good. It's very new. I said, there is same thing going on. No, it is new, you see. I know, guarantee 100% it is different. All glories to Kali Yuga memory. So we won't remember, so don't have high hopes. So whatever you can remember, it is bonus. But the purpose of reading is not to remember and recall. That is also there. But most importantly, nourishment. It is a nourishment for our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, you know, when somehow it has to induce us to take the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada asked one disciple, why do you think we are, you know, I am writing so many books and asking you to read? And then Prabhupada himself said, so that you can be inspired to chant Hare Krishna more and more. So we get nourishment and get the inspiration, let me take shelter of Krishna more. Like in the South India Yatra, one Sri Vaishnav devotee was telling the story. Ravana heard that Vibhishan is, you know, becoming a great devotee. So Ravana was very angry, so he went to Vibhishan's house. He entered the house and all the walls of Vibhishan's house, it was written, Rama. Rama, Rama, Rama. Ravana screamed in anger. Rascal, you are my brother. You are Ravana's brother. And you are glorifying Ravana's enemy. How you have written Ram, Ram everywhere? Vibhishan said, Hare, Bhaiya, this is, what do you think this Rama is? Ra stands for Ravana. Ma stands for Mandodari. Ravana Mandodari. Rama. I didn't know this. Ravana immediately gave an order all over Lanka. Every house you should chant, write Ram, Ram, Ram everywhere. That is the expertise of a preacher. That even those who don't want to take the name, Vibhishan made him take the name. So therefore, Prabhupada has written these books because we are always thinking, why I should chant, why I should chant, what is the big deal? Lot of reasons, logic, stories, inspiration is there which convinces us, I must take shelter of the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna
Krishna. Krishna, Krishna
Hare Hare. Hare Rama.
So we'll continue in the next session.
Praise.
Hare Krishna, so we'll have we'll serve lunch prasadam outside. Next session will start at 3:00. Okay.
Hare Krishna, I also request all devotees to take prasad outside, not in the temple room, so that we don't have to clean for our next session. Again, please take the prasad outside. Beautiful day outside. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.